Hi, everyone. Today we're speaking with Dr. Matthew Tull, who is the guide to PTSD for the popular website About.com, as well as the Director of Anxiety Disorders at the Department of Psychiatry and Human Behavior at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Now, I asked him to take a few moments to speak to me today so he can give us an overview of what post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, is, as well as the role it can play with anxiety in general and specific fears such as anxiety or panic attacks while driving. So first and foremost, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today, Doctor.
Oh, no problem. Glad I could do it.
Now, so everyone knows a little bit more about who they're listening to, can you tell us a bit about your background, what you do, and what got you interested in the study of post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah, sure. I got my bachelor's at Wake Forest University, where I majored in psychology. And from there, I actually went on to do a master's in psychology at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, where actually I focused on experimental psychology. By chance, I started to do some research on working with breast cancer patients and caregivers of those patients. And one thing that I noticed is there are a lot of differences in how people really kind of coped with their emotions, and this had a huge impact on their functioning and physical health. So it really brought an interest, at least to me, in terms of coping and trauma and the implications that has for people's functioning down the road. So I then decided to go on to further my graduate studies by gaining a PhD in clinical psychology at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, where I worked with Elizabeth Romer, who is an established researcher in PTSD and anxiety disorders. And there I really started to further explore the ways in which people exposed to traumatic events manage their emotions, both good in terms of kind of emotional acceptance, but also the bad ways as well in terms of avoidance or substance use. After graduate school, I did an internship at the Boston VA, where I worked with veterans with PTSD and substance use problems. Then went on to the University of Maryland, and then finally University of Mississippi Medical Center, where a lot of my research right now is focused on PTSD and substance users. There's a large, high rate of co-occurrence in PTSD and substance use, and what we're finding is that individuals with PTSD are often using substances as a way of self-medicating their emotional distress. And while this works really well in the short term, has a lot of negative consequences in the long term, as you might imagine.
Sure. Wow, that sounds like a lot of diplomas you got there.
Yes.
That must be an impressive wall, though. Now, I think probably the best question to start with is what is PTSD?
Okay. Well, PTSD actually is a, in terms of the symptoms and people writing about it as we know it now, it's actually a fairly young diagnosis. Really did not come to be until 1980, which is when they really kind of set down the symptoms that go along with PTSD that we study and do clinical work with now. But it's actually something that's been around for many years throughout history, and primarily been described in regard to combat exposure. So other names that it's been referred to in the past is shell shock or combat fatigue or war neurosis. And it was really the experiences of the Vietnam veterans when they came back and the symptoms that they were experiencing that led people to really start to explore this the set of symptoms more and really come up with a set, a group of symptoms that could define it. But at just a very basic level, PTSD is a post-traumatic stress disorder, is an event that occurs post or following a traumatic event. And this could be just a number of different types of situations that we might consider traumatic. Following this event, basically what we see is just a number of different types of clusters of symptoms that they kind of broadly defined as re-experiencing symptoms. So this is when an individual might have upsetting thoughts or memories about a traumatic event, nightmares, or the experience of a flashback where they actually feel as though the traumatic event is happening again. But then also experiencing a lot of distress, emotional distress, but also physiological responses like increased heart rate, sweating, shortness of breath, following reminders of a traumatic event. Then we also have cluster symptoms that are described as avoidance symptoms, where individuals make an attempt to really try to avoid thinking or feeling emotions that might be connected with a traumatic event. They may also avoid places or situations or people that remind them of a traumatic event. Individuals might have some difficulty also remembering parts of a traumatic event, lose interest in activities, and also kind of have some difficulty experiencing more positive emotions. It's kind of like the negative emotions really do dominate in PTSD, which makes it difficult to experience more positive emotions or pleasure. And then finally, we have our hyperarousal symptoms, which is difficulties falling or staying asleep, experiencing a lot of irritability or anger, but also this sense that you constantly have to be on guard. We call it hypervigilance, kind of like you're always kind of looking over your shoulder. You always feel as though you're in danger. And then finally, we also see an increased startle response, kind of dropping, jumping at the drop of a pin. Drop is something that we often kind of see with individuals who do have PTSD. So kind of in a nutshell, these are the symptoms that describe PTSD, and they're pretty well established in terms of the research that has been done and pretty consistent across the patients that we see.
Okay, now you brought up combat, and I think that most people, at least myself, tend to associate PTSD, like you said, with combat veterans, but mm-hmm. What sorts of other experiences or events that are traumatic could cause PTSD?
Basically, I mean, it can vary quite a bit. Most often, I think you're correct that when people do hear PTSD, they do think of combat exposure, and that's especially being reinforced now with stories of returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. But the truth is that there are a number of events that can lead to PTSD. Natural disasters is one. So we actually saw an increase in rates of PTSD following Hurricane Katrina, and there's a lot of research that's being done on that right now. Physical or sexual assault is another event that has a high likelihood of leading to PTSD. Unexpected death of a loved one. Having to kind of cope or being diagnosed with an illness. So HIV, there's actually been some research finding that an HIV diagnosis or a cancer diagnosis might contribute to PTSD. And then finally, a motor vehicle accident is been well established as an event that can definitely contribute to a PTSD diagnosis.
Okay. So now, since you're talking about the diagnosis, maybe I can take a step back, because when you were listing the symptoms of PTSD, a lot of them seem to me to have a lot of overlap with
yes.
other anxiety disorders in general. So I don't want people listening to think, oh, I have hypervigilance, or I'm overly sensitive, so now
right,
PTSD.
Right.
So how is the diagnosis of PTSD made, and how do you differentiate it from a different anxiety disorder?
That's a good question, and we actually do see a lot of overlap with our anxiety disorders, and it's pretty common for someone to have PTSD and then another anxiety disorder or major depression. There definitely is overlap there. However, one thing that's very unique to PTSD in terms of the anxiety disorder diagnoses is that there has to be this traumatic event that occurred. Oftentimes we do see that people who might suffer from panic attacks, that there might be some kind of stressful event that preceded the panic attack, but it's not a requirement for the diagnosis. So with PTSD, the first step that we take in making a diagnosis is that we want to make sure that the individual has experienced a traumatic event. And in terms of the types of traumatic event that we look at, basically we want to look at events that has been associated with a serious injury or threat to life, but also the experience of fear, helplessness, or horror at the time of the event. And if the individual meets criteria for that, we then go on to look at symptoms that might be experiencing, that person might be experiencing that would be connected to that event. And then in terms of the different clusters that we described, it's probably not going to be a common experience where we would see someone with every single symptom of PTSD. But they only have to meet criteria for a certain number of symptoms within those clusters. So in terms of re-experiencing, basically we want to see that there's at least one symptom of re-experiencing with PTSD. And then in terms of avoidance, We want to see at least 3 symptoms of avoidance and then at least 2 symptoms of hyperarousal. So what this means is that individuals don't have to experience every single symptom of PTSD to receive a diagnosis, but it also means that we see a lot of variability in terms of how patients do present as well.
Okay. Now, I'm sure that it depends on who you ask and what therapeutic modality they subscribe to, but in your opinion at least, what are the treatment options for PTSD?
Well, in terms of what we have a lot of support in terms of research for is exposure therapy, which is a cognitive behavioral treatment for PTSD. And the research that's been done on exposure therapy has really established it as pretty much a gold standard psychological treatment for PTSD. And I'm not sure if this is something that that your listeners are familiar with, because it is also an exposure therapy is a treatment that's also commonly used for other anxiety disorders as well, and including panic disorder.
It probably depends on how long they've been reading my website. And so I certainly talk about it, but I don't know what their background is. But I mean,
okay.
the exposure therapy in and of itself, is probably it's rather intuitive what it is. You expose yourself to whatever it is you're afraid of. But how would that, I'm used to hearing exposure therapy. Let's take the fear of spiders, for instance, where
sure.
you would gradually expose yourself to different situations where you might encounter a spider and, eventually where you actually would hold a spider or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
How would you apply that to, let's say, a motor vehicle accident? I mean, obviously you're not going to recreate the motor vehicle accident.
Right, yeah, there definitely are limitations in doing exposure therapy with PTSD because, of course, we don't want to, place our patients in any kind of, risk for harm.
Sure.
However, the basic principles are very much the same, that we're really trying to break down this avoidance behavior that might be maintaining some of these PTSD symptoms, and also by then having people confront what they fear and kind of making it through that fear and anxiety, it will eventually reduce. And so what we'll generally do is come up with what we call a fear hierarchy, where we look at a number of different events that might activate fear, anxiety, or PTSD symptoms at different levels, and kind of take a stepwise approach. So for someone with who has PTSD as a result of a motor vehicle accident, we might look at just kind of a low level on this hierarchy of even just thinking about getting into a car again, or, watching, someone driving a car or seeing a picture of a car. Might bring up some low levels of anxiety, and basically we want the patient to kind of get comfortable with that experience. And once they feel like they have, we call it habituate to that anxiety, we then move on to the next step. And it then might, in terms of top of the hierarchy, we might have them, go for a drive on the highway, or confront a situation in driving that they might have avoided before in terms of maybe driving over a bridge, something along those lines. And generally what we try to do to the best of our ability is do something that we call in vivo exposure, which is the direct confrontation with these feared objects or activities. Of course, like you mentioned, this is not always possible. So if an individual did experience a car accident and there might be some PTSD symptoms connected with that event, what we might then do is an imaginal exposure, where we have them confront fear thoughts and memories, and we can do this by creating a script or having them basically tell the story over again to us to basically try to confront it in their memory.
Okay. So now if someone listening was in a traumatic car accident and they, think that they might have PTSD, what are the first steps that you think they should do? I mean, obviously they need to see a qualified therapist and get that diagnosis. But what could they expect when they go into therapy for PTSD?
When they go into therapy for PTSD, I think that one thing that generally will happen is that the therapist should do a pretty extensive assessment to make sure the PTSD is there, as opposed to some other kind of anxiety disorder. And that's going to be really an important first step. And this can take a number of forms. It might take the form of a structured clinical interview. It might take the form of filling out some self-report measures, or simply just having a conversation with a therapist for them to determine you know, what is the best diagnosis, which can then guide treatment. One thing that with PTSD is that it's not a lifelong diagnosis. It's something that we do know how to treat, and that you know, we can address in a relatively brief period of time. So someone going into therapy wouldn't necessarily need to expect that this is going to be, you know, 5-10 years of intensive treatment, but instead, with exposure therapy, we can see reduction in PTSD symptoms in a pretty quick, short amount of time.
Well, good. It's good to know that it can be overcome, and it's something that we know a lot more about, and that's
yes,
our treatment options available. Well, Doctor, that's all the time we have for now, but I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today and help everyone listening understand PTSD a bit better so they can be sure that they're approaching their anxiety from the right direction.
Right. Well, I'm glad I could do it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Well, you're very welcome. You know everyone, you can learn more about Dr. Tull and read some great articles that you've written on the about.com site by going, I believe it's to ptsd.about.com. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks again for taking some time out of your schedule to talk to us, and I'll talk to you soon, Doctor.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.